from some scriptures. I don't have any preaching notes like I do sometimes. I feel like the Lord gave me this before church, and I'm going to do my best to read a few scriptures to you and preach a while tonight. So you just help me preach. Amen. I believe the Lord is going to help us tonight. The book of Daniel, chapter number 6 of the book of Daniel, a familiar story. The book of Daniel, chapter number 6, starting at verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage.
No damage.
Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto the king Darius, "Live forever." All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, had consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of Moses of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. All right. Amen. I'll take for a title tonight, what we need in this revival is some broomsticks. All right. Amen. Let's pray.
Lord, I thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. I give you all the praise and all the glory. I ask you, Lord, to give me the right word to say, give me the right spirit, Lord, to preach this message tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, you move in the altar service, Lord, that you would just have your way tonight, Lord. Lord, this is not my service, but it's your service, Lord. Just have your way, Jesus. I pray in the name of Jesus, and everybody said amen.
Amen.
Hey, that was great. The first time, too. We're getting better at that. You're starting to catch on. All right. Amen. Now, the Bible tells a story here that King Darius, he had a preference. He had just, he really thought a lot of Daniel. Daniel, the Bible said, had an excellent spirit. And there was no fault found in him. In other words, King Darius, of course, you know, he didn't serve God, but he was a good enough guy to be around Daniel to know that Daniel was just a good guy. He just had a good spirit about him, and there was no fault found in him. So Darius began to give some, put him up into higher esteems, different people, and began to appoint different offices. And then he decided, and the other ones figured it out, he would just make Daniel over all of them. Well, no, wait a minute. This was going to be a problem to these guys. Now, they thought Daniel was okay, but they didn't want Daniel over them. And so, the Bible says that they all got together and said, "We have got to do something. We cannot let Daniel be over us. Daniel is going too far and getting too popular and having too much of an effect upon our country. We have got to do something to get ourselves back on top." So they met with the king and they decided a we'll do it like this. So they got with King Darius and said, "Oh, King Darius, live forever." And then they said, "King Darius, how about this? How about if we make a decree or make this writing here, and you can make the decree and sign the writing that says no one for 30 days is allowed to petition, or in other words, pray or ask of anything of any god or any other man except for you." Well, that's pretty much bragging on King Darius. And King Darius is thinking, hey, man, these guys really think a lot of me. Okay, all right, where do I sign? So he signed it. And then the word got back to Daniel. Well, Daniel, you're not allowed to pray anymore. You're not allowed to ask a petition of anybody for 30 days except for King Darius. Well, now Daniel did what he always did. Notice the Bible said, as he did aforetime, he went into his house, and his window being open, he knelt down and prayed 3 times a day. So what did he do different? Nothing. He just did what he had always done. He just prayed as he had always prayed. And the story goes on to tell us that they heard him praying, as they had heard him pray many times before. They heard him praying, and then they went and told King Darius. King Darius, you remember the paper you signed? Oh yeah, I remember the paper I signed. Well, that guy named Daniel, he's asking a petition of his God instead of you. Well, King Darius was very saddened to realize that he had signed a paper that now meant that Daniel was to be thrown into the lion's den, but he went ahead and threw Daniel in the lion's den. Amen. Well, if I could preach a little bit of commentary tonight and tell you what I think in the United States of America, the church is right now pretty well at the point where Daniel was in this way. I think we have a very liberal and know-everything government officials now in the United States of America. And I think that it really is bothering the government and really is bothering our present-day educational systems and our present-day lawmakers to think how good that the church is doing. And instead of them being on top, well, what's that church think they're doing? The Christianity is still growing. Holiness is still growing. The church is still growing. And I think that is really angering our present-day politicians and our present-day educational systems. Amen? So, well, what in the world are we going to do, they might say to themselves. Well, how about if they start trying to pass laws to make it hard on Christian people, if they start trying to do things to make it embarrassing for church people, to make it a little tough for church people. I don't know about you, but my little boy, we just started him at homeschooling in kindergarten, and that's not a very easy thing to do, but we just started it. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. He was in school in Illinois, but when we moved here, instead of starting him in a new school, we just started homeschooling him. Well, I'm going to tell you something, friend. The world, the current day educational system, doesn't like it when people homeschool. They don't like it when people start trying to open up Christian schools. They don't like it. Amen? Amen. So they are doing everything they can to prohibit the church and the Christian people from going any farther with their laws, with their opinions, with their little ways of making it tough. So I guess what I am going to ask you tonight, what are we going to do? Well, let's just go back to with Daniel for a minute. Now, Daniel knows what decree has been made and what that paper said that has been signed. So Daniel goes up into his house, and I can just imagine the devil coming to Daniel saying, "Now, Daniel, you don't want to be put in that lion's den, do you? Listen, Listen, Daniel, just take a few days off and don't pray. Amen? Hey, listen, Daniel, if you don't pray, there'll be nothing for them to find out. Just be real easy and don't pray for a little while. Amen? Let me tell you, the devil's going to try to convince the church of 1997 to take a back seat and calm down. Or how about this? How about saying, Daniel, now listen, I know you really want to pray, and that'll be okay, but how about closing those windows? That way, nobody will know that you're in here praying. You can get over here in the corner and pray, and nobody will have to know that you're up here praying. So come on over here, shut your window, and get in the corner and say your little prayer and pray right there, and then nobody will know. Well, you know, I think the reason that that was a concern for the devil is Daniel, who was already seen to have an excellent spirit, and they had tried to find fault in him and they couldn't. His lifestyle, his everyday living, his everyday going up there and praying was having an effect upon his community. Amen? He was having an effect upon his neighbors. Now, how is the devil going to stop Daniel from having that effect upon his neighbors? How about this? How about if he talks him into not praying? Or, okay, Daniel, you will be to pray. Go ahead, Daniel, and go in there and pray just like always. Just shut the windows. Go over there in the corner and do it real quietly. Amen? You know, I think that the devil will do anything he can to try to shut the Highway of Holiness Church down. But if he can't get it to shut down, if he can get y'all just to shut your windows and just have service real quietly, and don't get out here and start that inviting the sinner people in and preaching to the sinners. Let's just, okay, you will be to have church. Maybe the devil would say, okay, you want to go ahead and have church? Okay, just put the windows down and leave the world alone. Just come on in here a couple times a week and have a little quiet service and then go home. Amen? Well, let me tell you, the Bible said that Daniel went in there. Daniel knew that the writing had been signed. He knew what the decree was, but he went in and his window was open and he got down and prayed just like he always did.
All right.
Amen. So, what are we going to do in this time of 1997 when our government and our educational systems and the worldly part of the United States of America is trying to hinder the church? What are we going to do different? Well, we can solve the problem just by locking the doors of the church and not coming back and living like everybody else. Or how about if we agree we're still going to come here every week and we'll just come in real quietly, do our little thing, and then leave and go home, and we won't bother the devil's paradise. And then he will be so much easier on every one of you. Daniel had no desire to be thrown into a lion's den. Amen. Now we know that the Lord spared his life there in that lion's den and that the lions didn't bother him, but Daniel is a man of faith. But at this time, he couldn't give you the prediction and tell you, well, they're going to throw me in the lion's den and I'll just use them as a pillow and the lions won't hurt me, no problem, no problem a bit. Well, no, won't be no trouble. No, 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 no. He didn't know. Maybe the lions would try to kill him and the Lord would save his life at the last second. Or maybe he would just be another martyr for the gospel's sake and the lions kill him. He did not know what was going to take place, but he refused to shut the windows. I can just imagine there in his house, Daniel walking through the window and looking out, and I can just imagine there's the people that's out there every day, out there doing whatever they do every day out there that could hear him pray. And then maybe he would even notice a few extra ones that came, hoping to hear him pray, just to see if he would pray. And he looks out and sees them. And the devil's saying, just shut that window and go over here in the corner and say a little quiet prayer. They don't have to know what you're doing in here. And as he looks out the window, you know what Daniel does? He kneels down and prays as he always did.
Amen. Yes,
so this is what I think that the Holiness Church should do in the year of 1997, when the devil has definitely declared war upon the church and he is trying to discourage as many people as he can, and he's trying to cause as much trouble as he can, and he's trying to get you to just shut your window. This is what I think that the church ought to do in 1997. I think the church should do things just as they did aforetime. I think we should get together, have church, and sing and preach just like we always did. I think we ought to come around the altar and help pray people through to the Holy Ghost just like we always have. I think that when we leave here, it ought not be a secret, but we ought to tell everybody that we can. Hey, let me tell you, we're in revival at the Highway of Holiness. Boy, it's a great church. Boy, it's a good place to be. You know what? You ought to come one night. You ought to come on down here with us one night. Well, that's going to make the devil mad. He's going to try to get you. He's going to try to turn the lions loose on you. But listen, friend, he tried that with Daniel, but it didn't work. And I got news for you. It ain't going to work here. What are we going to do when the devil has declared war on us? Let's just do what we've always done. Amen? Praise the Lord. I don't think we ought to change a thing. Well, I know the devil would try to get us to change this and change that. And hey, you know what I just thought of? Now, wait a minute. You know what? Why that church, everybody, sure. Well, look at them. I mean, they stand out. I mean, look at those ladies. Look at the way they dress. You ever talk to one of those men? Maybe if he could get us just to fit in better out there in the world, they wouldn't have to know how we act and the things that we do in here. Amen? And we could just make a little deal with the devil. Okay, all right. How about this? We'll come to church more than we ever have. We'll come to church just as much as we ever have, and if anything, we'll come more. But we'll change the way we look to fit in better out there. We'll just leave the devil alone for a little while. We'll change the way we talk and the places we go. We'll just fit in better out there in the world. Well, wouldn't that make the devil back down a little bit? Oh, I think so. I think then the devil would be, hey, no problem. Sure, you want to go to church? Hey, you agree to look like that? Go ahead. You agree to talk like this? Go ahead and go every night if you want to. Ain't going to bother me none. Amen? Because he knows he's already got you.
All right.
So what are we going to do at this time that the devil is doing everything he can to hurt the church? Let's just do it like we always have.
Right.
Let's just do it like we always have.
Yeah.
Amen. Now,
that's right.
I'm speaking from hearsay. I'm not as much experienced in this chain of thought as others are. But from hearsay, I understand that right now, Pentecost is becoming more popular than it ever has. A matter of fact, Pentecostal preachers and Pentecostal song groups and Pentecostal services have become so popular that they tell me that pretty well 24 hours a day, anybody can see one or hear one on a television. Come on now. Well, do they look and talk and act like we do?
Good question.
Huh? Or have they found out that the devil won't bother you as much if you learn to fit in a little bit and don't mess with what he owns? Amen? In other words, I like what Brother Collins just said. Don't cause the devil no interference. And he may just not cause you any interference. Amen. Sure. Well, I have heard him talk about it on the radio different times. preachers that I have no confidence in, and so they're called so-called preachers, talk a little bit and get on the radio and talk about how wonderful they're doing and what great they're doing, and talk about all that they have money that they have raised and all of the great, and they'll be at this Coliseum and that Coliseum, and come on out, and there'll be thousands and thousands there, and all of this stuff. Well, it sounds to me like the devil ain't even trying. Because they ain't causing him no interference. So why should he cause them any interference? Amen? So, how about if Daniel agrees, okay, devil, I won't cause you no problems. You don't cause me no problems. And he shuts his window down, and he goes over in the corner, and he prays, just him and the Lord. And nobody has to know, and he says his prayer. You think that it threw him in that lion's den? No, I don't. All
right.
Because suddenly all those men that were standing out there, when they seen that window go down, well, they could have went in and busted in his house just to see if he was in there praying or not. But you know what? I think they'd have been like, hey, put his window down. Who cares what he's doing in there? He can't bother nothing out here. Let's go. And then it just left him alone. Well, let me tell you, if the devil can get the Highway of Holiness Church to back down just a little bit and quit causing him so much trouble, I got news for you. You talking about, and I feel like we're in revival, don't you? I feel like we have been in a wonderful revival. Well, we won't be able to call it a revival, but let me tell you, just back down a little bit, and you'll see things happen around here that you never dreamed of happening. This place is liable to fill up. There is liable to be so much money coming through this church, you just won't believe it. There's all kinds of ways to make those things go a little bit better. Just shut the window. Amen? Shut the window. Well, my papaw that I preached about the other day, a matter of fact, the other night I left here and went to a restaurant, and while we were sitting there eating, one of my uncles, my mom's brother, one of my papaw's sons, drove through. He was going to go through the drive-thru, and he looked in a sauce, so he came in, and he said, hey, I seen somebody from that church, which I don't remember who it was, you'd probably hear tonight. He said, I seen somebody from that church, and they told me you was talking about Dad. And I said, well, yeah, I did a little bit. And he said, all right, what'd you tell Audie? And I told him about the time about that guy getting up and misquoting that scripture and preaching a whole message on something the Bible didn't say, and Papa, when he got done preaching, getting up, dismissing the service and saying, hey, brother, look up. Oh, chapter, verse. Yeah, look that up and read that real loud for us. And it was just what that brother thought he was preaching. And I mean, it really made that guy look bad and feel bad. And he shut that Bible quick and got out of there. Well, I told him that. And I said, I was there, Uncle Lloyd. I remember I was there. And he said, well, you know what? He said, I was there for a similar thing. And I'll just share this with you. He said, we had a real bad snow. I was down there visiting. And it came a real bad snow, so he couldn't get to his church, so he decided to go down to that church down at the end of his holler across the road there, which the pastor there, which will remain nameless, is also some of my family on the other side. He's kin to my dad's side of the family. And he said, so we went in there, and that brother, he asked Daddy to preach. So Daddy, it was a Baptist church, so Daddy didn't want to cause any trouble, so he just preached to the lost. So he kept saying, making the altar call, come on and let's pray through. If you need to be saved this morning, come on here and pray through. Just come up here and ask the Lord to forgive you. Well, the pastor of that church doesn't believe it that way. He believes that you're saved, that you will miss hell simply by joining the church. That if you're a part of the church, you'll be fine. So he shakes your hand, signs your name on a line, and you're fine. So Papaw got done preaching, everybody prayed, and the pastor got up to dismiss service, and he had everybody stand, and he said, let me say this before we leave. He thought he'd be real smart like Papaw and fix it. He said, Let me say this before we leave. Something said this morning that I totally disagree with. Let me tell you something. Nowhere in the Bible does it say anything about you have to pray through or pray and ask for forgiveness. All you need to do is join this church and you'll be fine. And Papa said, "Hey, brother, brother." And he said, "Yeah, preacher." He said, "Hey, you know what? You know what? Hey, would you care to do me a favor? Look up," and he gave the book, "chapter, verse, look that up and read that for us before we leave." And that brother said, "Right now?" "Yeah, if you don't care, go ahead, look that up there and read that for us before we leave." So that brother looked it up and he read it. And it was exactly what Papa was saying, exactly. And my uncle said that pastor read that and looked back at Papa and shut his Bible real hard and said, "All right, let's go home." Said he grabbed his Bible and walked out the back door and didn't even speak to anybody. Well, that's the way it goes, isn't it? Amen. Well, Papa, he had it all figured out. Well, when I used to stay with Papa and in his house, which was a couple, at least several thousand years after this incident took place, they still didn't have windows yet that you could just raise and stay open. A matter of fact, you know, my mom and dad does now in their house. Their windows, you open, they just stay open. But they didn't have them at Papaw's house. So Papaw had devised a way to keep the window open. With time, windows may have a tendency to start falling down. With time, windows, the wind may blow just right. And you know, the vibrations of people walking on the floor may cause that window to start making its way down. So Papaw used to get broomsticks and saw them for just the right length to put in the window. And that would hold the window open. And no matter how many people walked across the floor, no matter how long that the window stayed open, no matter how hard the wind blew, that window would stay open because that broomstick was in the window. Amen. Well, I'm preaching tonight. What Highway of Holiness Church needs tonight is a few broomsticks. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't know. I have no idea, as a matter of fact, and I'm not going to ask you all to stand up or raise your hands or anything, but I know we have some board members or trustees here. I know that we have people with different positions, some Sunday school teachers, whatever your position might be. I know we got this and we got that. Sure. Well, thank God. Thank God you've got a position. But there is a position that is open tonight, and we're not even going to have an election. We're just going to have people to volunteer to fill the position, to be broomsticks. That is, you are willing to get in the open window and refuse to let that window shut. That is, you are willing to stand in the window and say, "Pray on, preach on, Brother Collins. Sing the song again. Keep right on. Let the world know that there is a devil and there is a hell. And let them know that Jesus is alive and well, that he loves them. Go ahead. I'm going to stand right here in this window and not let the window come down." Is there anybody willing to be a broomstick tonight? Oh, yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hold on, my whole portion. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Everybody that will, let's stand. Amen. Amen.
God bless.
Amen. Well, I didn't bring a hacksaw tonight, so don't get nervous about that. I didn't bring a hacksaw tonight. But I might, if I ever get to preach this message again somewhere, I might take a hacksaw. Because there is, you know, Papa, you know, a broomstick was way too big for him to put in a window. So he would have to take that broomstick and put it up against the window and then make a little mark to see how long it needed to be and then cut the broomstick down small enough to fit in the window. A matter of fact, some of the broomsticks he would just stick straight up, and some of the ones he would put in at an angle, one corner and one corner at an angle in the window to keep the window open. Well, let me tell you something, friend. Papaw used to do that on the porch. He used to get his little hacksaw and go out on the porch and saw the broomsticks up. Well, let me tell you, we have this spiritual porch up here tonight, and I want to ask you to come up here and bring your spiritual hacksaw and cut off of you what is too big to fit in that window to keep that window open. It is called pride. Amen? Amen. So come around this altar tonight and let's stay there. Now listen, I'm not going to tell everybody to. I'm just going to say everybody that would like to have a position at the Highway of Holiness Church or whatever church you attend to be an official broomstick. You will be an official broomstick.
How about that?
Now, there was something good about this. You know, if they put you on being a trustee, if it's anything like it was when I was pastoring, every so often we'd get them all together and have a meeting. Well, Brother Collins, don't worry about having a broomstick meeting. You can be a broomstick and not even have to come to a meeting. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, you can come and be a broomstick if you can saw off the parts that can't fit in the window. A little bit of pride, a little bit of a know-it-all attitude, a little bit of always got a better ideal attitude. Just saw it all off and get where you just fit in the window perfectly. If you would like to be a broomstick tonight, I now open up the porch. So everybody that would like to be a broomstick, come around the porch and let's saw down just like we need to be and get in the window tonight. Everybody that would like to be a broomstick, come around and let's start making our way to get in the window. Amen. Everybody that loves the old-time Pentecostal Trinity holiness and refuses to let that window shut, come on around the altar tonight and let's get in the window. Amen. Everybody that will, if you'd like to be a broomstick tonight, come around the altar tonight and be a broomstick. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.